Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 108, and today is Friday, February 15th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, before I get into the actual topic for today's show, I just wanted to mention that the previous show in your RSS feed should be an interview I did with Brent Simmons, sort of trying to restart and get back into the developer interview series that I had started last year. And I just mentioned that here because I know a lot of podcatchers will only download the most recent episode. So if this is the one you're getting and you haven't heard that, you're missing out. I thought it was a really good episode. He has a lot of interesting insights and a lot of experience that I think we can all learn from. So definitely grab that. And related to that, I also wanted to mention that if there are people you want me to talk to, if there are people you'd be interested in hearing about, essentially when I'm interviewing someone, I'm trying to get at how they work and why they work. And if there are people, developers, designers, people in the industry who you'd like to hear from, let me know and I'll try to reach out to them, try to make that work. And I'll, you know, see where it goes. It's a nice break, I think, from the 15-minute format. You kind of get a little bit more diversity. It's a little bit longer, but I think it's worth it. All right, so the main topic I'm going to be talking about today is related to an article that I wrote on my blog that talks about negotiation. And this is a topic that I'll see how many episodes it takes for me to work through this all. But essentially, I found that in my experience, one of the hardest parts of being coming at this kind of profession, being independent, doing small business kind of stuff, if you're an engineer, is that you're often not trained or experienced in some of the more, I don't even know, the more business sides of being in business. And one of the hardest and most significant parts of that is the role that negotiation plays in that. So negotiation can take place in almost any context. I mean, essentially any time you're going to sign something, that it's, you know, a contract, whether that be for, you know, your first consulting gig, hiring an employee, getting a lease for your business, whatever it is, you're going to be involved in some form of negotiation. And this is something that I found for myself, I was very bad at. It's something that I struggle with. It's something that I don't really want to do. And so I kind of avoid thinking about it. And it's something that I think I neglected to the detriment of my business early on in my career. And so I tried to put together kind of the lessons I've learned over the last 7 years of being independent in the hopes that it'll help other people to not make the same mistakes twice or not make my mistakes again. And so I'm just going to kind of walk through this. I think it's about 8 points, I think it is, that I'll kind of work through. But first, the first point, which is kind of a meta point, is to understand that your negotiation is a technique and a conscious thing that you need to do. And the biggest mistake I made just initially was that I would just treat it as though I could just kind of wing it. And I'm almost certain when I do that, I do a disservice to myself and to my work because I'm not getting the best value for my time, for my skills, for my services. So the first thing I want to do is in talking about that is understanding that you need to value your work intrinsically. And that is to say, someone is coming to you and saying, I want to hire your time, buy your product, whatever it is. You need to have an intrinsic understanding of what that is, its value to you outside of what someone else is telling you. You know, and there's a concept in finance of something's value being determined by the highest price someone is willing to pay for it, which may work in the housing market or something like that to say what a house is worth. But it's very dangerous to start in that place if it's your software, if it's your time, if it's your energy, because its value to you is likely very different than what someone else's would think. And its value to you is the most important valuation of it. Fair enough, you can't derive that value without somebody else giving it to you. But if you can't start from a place that you think is fair and work to a price, you're going to be in trouble. If you kind of think about it as if you're starting assuming that your work has no value until someone tells you it has value, you're working up from zero, which is a very dangerous thing. And you're almost certainly going to be undervaluing your work and being underpaid for it. And the next area is to understand who you are interpersonally. I'm a terrible person on the phone. I hate talking on the phone. Doing a podcast sort of works because there's no one on the other side. But generally speaking, I really don't like, voice conversation. I like email. I like being able to be thoughtful about what I'm saying. I like to be able to edit it and go back and read it again and show it to my wife or show it to somebody and say, hey, does this make sense? What do you think? To try and make sure I'm communicating well. And so what I needed to do and what I discovered is that I had to move my conversation when I'm negotiating outside of that context. I needed to diminish the amount of time I'm spending on the phone and increase the amount of time I'm communicating in the written word. And that has been very helpful to me to kind of move into that place because it allows me to be coming from a position of strength, of being able to work where I'm most comfortable. And that's very powerful in terms of me being effective. And it also helps me just avoid weird situations where I say yes to something because I feel awkward. I say yes to something because I'm feeling nervous. And that's a dangerous, horrible place to be. And it's something that I wouldn't have done if someone had sent me that email and said, "Hey, could you do this?" And I'd be like, "No, that doesn't make any sense for me." But there's something different when it's a personal person doing that to you. And of course, that's not for everybody. If you're the other way around, if you love being on the phone, if that's what you do, go for it. The goal is for you to have a home field advantage, for you to be playing from where you're strong. All right, next thing is to always this. Whenever you're working in a contract, and this is slightly into the contracting side of negotiation rather than the actual negotiation part of it. But it's understanding that whenever you go into a contract, you have to understand that every term in a contract has an implication to your future. And you need to be comfortable with the worst, most aggressive reading of every term in a contract for it to be ultimately something that you want to sign. And by that I mean especially if you're coming from a background of a lot of open source software, if you're coming from a background of the tremendous camaraderie and closeness that I think we feel, say, if you're working in the iOS community, there are a lot of people who I help out, things that I do with expecting nothing in return other than just being part of the community. And that sense of trust is fantastic, and I love it, and it's part of why I really enjoy my job and the people I work with. But when I'm entering into a contract with somebody, I can't have those same assumptions. I have to assume that that person's has their own interests in mind, not mine. And I need to be comfortable with every line of the contract to that degree. You don't want to get aggressive. You don't want to get nuts about it. But you need to understand that if there's something in there that's a clause that has this really bad implication should something go wrong, you need to be able to be comfortable and live with that because you're signing your name on the bottom and saying, yes, if this happens, I will do that. Or if this happens, that consequence was something that will happen to me. And if that's the case, if you can't live with that, you need to change it. You need to negotiate a change to that or not do the deal or whatever it is because you have to be comfortable with the worst possible outcome of every term in a contract. And as a meta point to that, understand that a contract's goal is to define the worst case and to define what happens in that worst case. The reason contracts are long and complicated is because it's not usually worrying about the best case. The case where someone comes to you for a consulting contract, you sign a deal, you're paid $150 an hour, you go in, you do the work, everybody's happy, you walk out. Everyone's paid on time, all the work gets done perfectly, there's no delays, there's no hiccups. If that were the case, you'd need a very small contract. And I've done some contracts like that. Usually it's with friends or people who I have tremendous trust for. But typically what you want to do is you want to have a contract that deals with all the worst cases. All the project gets canceled, payment is late, the business goes out of business. What happens if you're suddenly unavailable, if you're sick? All kinds of issues that could come up that need to be dealt with in a way that you're far more capable of dealing with in a rational way and with a clear-mindedness before the fact, rather than after the fact, when you have to kind of work this out after it happens and now you're invested. Now there's all these other conflicting and confounding variables. So you have to be going into a contract with that in mind and understanding that is useful and valuable and not something you need to shy away from. And then next thing that you need to do when you're doing negotiation is you really need a lawyer. I know it's difficult when you're starting out. I know it's difficult when you're small. And it's something that I did I got involved with lawyers a bit too late probably in a way that I really should have been involving them earlier. They don't need to spend a huge amount of time, a huge amount of effort, but you really, when you sign a contract that you're going to be binding yourself with for any amount of time, it's good to have somebody who's a professional look at it. I would feel uncomfortable if I was drawing out plans to build my house. I'd go to an architect for that, somebody who's trained and knows what they're doing, or at least can look at what I'm doing and say, that would be better if that was this. Have you thought about this? And also understand that often if you're working with somebody who has a lawyer, their lawyer is doing the exact same thing on the reverse. And what you're trying to do is avoid some situation where they are putting terms in there that the worst thing that I've run into, or that the most dangerous part, is the power of sort of legalese, which is what they call, you know, the kind of way that you write a contract often that has this very kind of high, floaty kind of sound to it. And the dangerous part is often there are implications to terms that are have legal implications that don't look like that. They look like innocuous lines of legalese, but they actually have lots of implications. You know, equitable relief is something that I don't really know what that means, but it's a term that comes up in a contract, and it's like, what does that mean? A lawyer will be able to tell you, and a lawyer will be able to guide you through what that means. In a way that you may not, in the way that you may just pass over it, and it's like, I don't know, that sounds, so we are relieved equitably, maybe. But, you know, you want to be careful. You want to be understanding, and you just want to, if you can't afford an expensive lawyer, that's fine. You just want somebody, maybe you find a friend who's going to law school. You just want somebody who has some training in the law to look at what you're doing. And next, I wanted to talk about being careful about negotiating against yourself. This is something that I often do. If you're coming up with a contract, you're kind of thinking of your two sides to the argument. You're coming up with your side, your position, the places that you want to value. And you want to say, you know, I want X. And immediately it's so easy, especially as an engineer, to think of what the other person would say in response. It's like, if I want X, they're going to complain about X, Y, and Z. Or I guess A, B, and C, because I already used X. So what you want to say is, you want to be very careful about doing that. It's useful to understand the flaws and the problems of what you're asking for, but you never want to weaken your position in response to these imagined objections. If someone is actually going to object, then you can work through that in a framework of negotiated compromise, but it's a very dangerous place to be weakening your own position without someone giving something up in return. So you don't want to weaken yourself to these imagined objections. You want to come up with the strongest position you can come up with, and then you want to fight for that. Next, you want to avoid the risk and the danger of rushing contract and negotiations. And this is often a problem if you're working with a larger organization. And I say that because if you're working with an organization that has a team of people involved who do this every day, who work through these kind of these kind of deals on a regular basis, they have the ability to do things much more quickly than you may necessarily feel comfortable with. But it's vitally important that you feel comfortable with it at all times with what you're saying, with what you're doing. You know, this isn't the kind of thing where if you were going into a used car dealership and you sit down and the guy has this like, well, if you close today, I can knock $1,000 off the price. If you come in tomorrow, that deal's not good. That kind of a high-pressure sort of sell is not something that should be a part of a professional transaction. This isn't that type of a thing. You need to feel comfortable. If the pace is going too fast, you just say, yo, I'm going to need more time. This is a great place that you can blame it on your lawyer. Say, I need to have my attorney look at it. If someone comes back at that and says, no, we really need it done now, you really need to be careful about if that's a deal you want to get into. If they're going to put that kind of pressure on you at the negotiation phase, imagine what that's going to look like down the road when you're working with them and you're delivering software or those kinds of things. And lastly, I just wanted to talk about the sunk cost fallacy. And this is the hardest part for me of this whole process. And that is going through the work of creating a contract is arduous, tough, and takes a lot of energy out of me. And as I get to the end, it's easy to then be like, I can't walk away from this because of all the time and energy I've put into it, which is the exact wrong way to think. Sunk costs, things that you've put into this, the time, energy, and so on, is not something that you can get back. So it's a sunk cost. So at the time that you're making the decision, make the decision based on what's best for you at that moment, not what's best for you assuming those sunk costs. They're gone. Just ignore them and make the best decision for what's right now. It's really hard, and the best way that I found to do that is to make sure you have good advisors, whether that be family, friends, colleagues, who can advise you who don't have that same level of investment, because they're able to keep much more level-headed throughout the process. All right, that's it, and kind of talking through that article, like I said, I'll link to it in the show notes, and that was largely just a recap of the article, but I hope that I gave it a bit more color and flavor, which was my goal here. And that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at @DavidSmith. You can email me, david@developingperspective.com. And otherwise, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Do some happy coding, and I will talk to you next week and hopefully have another interview for you. Bye.